Blog Talk Radio.
Special occasion.
We're celebrating Resurrection Day. And that's the day when Jesus Christ, whether it was the real physical day or not, we know that he definitely did resurrect, whether it was this day or another day, but he certainly did. And that's what we're celebrating. Believers in Christ Jesus all around the world, all across planet Earth, are celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am so happy to be just one of millions that put their faith and trust and confidence in a risen Savior. So exciting. Nothing like it in all the world. Nobody like Jesus in all the world. And so we give him the highest praise, the highest honor, the highest glory. So grateful. So grateful just to be counted as one of his. I want to welcome you tonight to Reaching Out Radio. And you're listening to Sunday night's program, In the Word, with your sister Pearl. And what a privilege and an honor it is for me to be with you another Sunday evening, but especially to celebrate the risen Lord. Hallelujah. So before we go into the word tonight, let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer and invite the Holy Spirit to come and have his way and be exalted and be glorified, be honored, be lifted up high above every other name that is named under heaven, the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this invitation because you said, come. You told us to come to you and to ask of you. And so we're doing exactly that tonight. We're coming to you humbly, but coming to you with courage because we know that we did not come on our own, but you invited us to come. And to ask what we will, and in the name of Jesus, it will be done for us if we pray according to your will. And we know that it is your will that none should perish, but everyone should have the opportunity to hear the gospel and to put their faith and trust and confidence in you, Lord God, and to be saved eternally. And so, Father, I pray for all the people that are listening, not only in the United States of America, but in Canada, in South America, North America, Europe, the continent of Africa, Asia, Australia. Father, we just ask you, continue to breathe upon us for those that are in the Caribbean, for those that are in Central America, for those that are in Mexico, Lord God, for those that are in the Caribbean, Lord God, in the islands, for those that are in the lesser islands, God, you know each and every man and every woman that's listening. I pray even, Lord, if this broadcast goes in the nation of Sri Lanka. And Father, how our hearts bleed for them tonight, as so many of them have lost their lives in that suicide bombing. We pray for the nation of Sri Lanka. We pray as so many people, and some of them are your people, that are grieving, that are mourning. We pray that you would comfort them. We pray that you would put your loving arms around them and that you would minister to them as only you can. Give them your peace. Give them your joy. I pray for the man and woman that does not know Christ, the young girl, the young boy that does not know the Lord yet. I pray that by the time we close this hour and talk about your resurrection power, that not one that's listening to this broadcast would leave the same, but that you would captivate the hearts of every one of us, oh God, so that we want to live for you, we want to love you, we want to follow you, we want to serve you, we want to know you, whom to know is life eternal. So we pray that you would save, deliver, and set free everyone who listens and tunes in tonight or listens on demand. In Jesus' name we pray, God, be honored, be glorified in everything that's said and done. May your name and your name alone be exalted. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, and we believe you for great things tonight. Amen and amen. So tonight, I'm going to talk about a theme called resurrection power. Resurrection power. And I'm going to be reading from Matthew, the 28th chapter. I'm going to read 10 verses. So here we go. In the name of the Lord Jesus. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And again, I just read Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Now, there's several concepts that we gather from just a few verses. First of all, when God is about to move, I want you to listen very carefully tonight, because we're talking about his resurrection power. And you and I need to realize that when God is about to do something phenomenal, that event or breakthrough is preceded by great turbulence. Not all the time, but many times. An earthquake is certainly not a calm or a usual occurrence. I looked up the word earthquake in the dictionary. An earthquake means a sudden and violent shaking of the ground, sometimes causing great destruction as a result of movements within the earth's crust or volcanic action. And sometimes, before you and I come to know Christ, kind of an occurrence happens in our life. It will not be a physical earthquake, of course not. But there will be some kind of a shaking in our lives, a destruction, a turbulence, an uneasiness. And a lot of times, it'll be like a tremor, a convulsion, a shock, a great upheaval, as it were, in our life. And we have to understand that sometimes, not all the time, times, it's not the devil who is behind that or causing that. But sometimes it is God Almighty having mercy and showing loving kindness to us to cause and to allow, even when he does not cause, but to allow some of this to take place in our lives. Because, like I said, oftentimes, before there is a great move of God and he is about to do something phenomenal, many times something like that takes place. And so we see that this is what happened even as Mary, this is Mary Magdalene, and also another lady called Mary, so there were two Marys right there. When they went to see about Jesus, especially about Jesus' body, to see how they can care for the body, you know, probably put more balm and fragrance and whatever, there was a great earthquake. The Bible says it was violent. Because why? It wasn't for a bad reason. It was because the angel of the Lord was coming down from heaven. And what was he doing? Going to the tomb. to do something good, to roll back the stone that was at the mouth of the tomb where they had laid the body of Jesus. Now, you and I are oftentimes like that ground that experienced an earthquake. Prior to Christ, prior to knowing Christ and being changed and transformed by Jesus Christ and having him fill us with his Holy Spirit and take us in a completely different direction, our ground, as it were, is crusty. It's hard, just like a hardened heart. It's hard. Outside of Christ and before Christ does his wonderful work in our lives, we're like that hardened ground. And you and I oftentimes need that ground to be broken up so that it can be fallow ground and ground that is pliable to God and ground that God can use and ground that God can place seed in and then water and then bring harvest through. A good farmer will never just go to hard-hearted ground and start poking seeds. First of all, it's almost impossible to poke a seed in ground that is very stiff, almost like concrete. So there has to be a turning of that ground. There has to be a working of that ground. There has to be a softening of that ground. There has to be a mixing of that ground, a turning in that ground. And you and I are like that ground before we come to know Jesus. And even sometimes for us that have already given our lives to Jesus Christ and we're following the Lord Jesus, you know, oftentimes things in our lives can make us get hard and crusty. And so sometimes God, because of his great love and compassion toward us, will cause us to go through a shaking, cause us to go through a turbulence, cause us to go through an upheaval, cause us to go into some kind of a shock. But it's for our good. It's not to destroy us, but it's to get our ground to be pliable, get us to be pliable and moldable and usable in his hand. In time, God is involved in a matter. Certainly God was involved in this matter because he sent an angel to come down from heaven and roll back the stone and to sit on the throne. Sometimes it is God, not the devil. I repeat, who is involved in the earthquakes in our lives. God is so very involved and concerned in our lives, and this is why he sent his only beloved son, Jesus, to come and to give himself as a sacrifice for you and for me. I have a wonderful daughter. Her name is Deborah. God bless her. And she was telling me recently about something that she saw. I don't know if she saw it on Instagram or she saw it in a video, or I know she saw it on the internet. I'm not sure what mode of social media, but she definitely saw it on the internet. And she said, "Ma, I saw something that was really horrible." She just began to tell me what it was, and then I finished the sentence for her. I said, "But Deborah, if you remember, I told you about this happening in certain countries." And what she was shocked at is that she had seen a short clip of a video where there was either one man or several men, I'm not sure, and they were impaling themselves. They had themselves impaled on a cross, spread out on a cross, nailed on that cross. But of course, they would come down within, I think, like a few seconds or a minute at the very most. I don't even know if they were up there for an entire minute, because I know that this takes place in some of the remote areas, especially in the southern parts of the Philippines. That is a practice that some of these people do. Unnecessary. Completely unnecessary. And not only is it a horrible practice, but it's an insult to God who is holy. Because number one, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, and he died sacrificially, And why do I say that? Because he did not have to die because of any sin that he committed. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So what does that really mean? Number one, when you and I sin, when we offend God who is holy, tonight I'm talking about the only true and living God. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But we're talking about the only true and living God. When we sin, he says the penalty, the punishment for sinning against him is death. The wages or the penalty for sin is death. But then the latter part of that verse is so wonderful. But the gift of God, a gift is something that we don't earn. A gift is something that we don't necessarily deserve. A gift is just given to us by the giver, because they want to lavish something good on us. So the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus gave himself that was sinless. He never committed any sin. He never, you know, did anything to offend his heavenly Father God. And so his was the only blood that would be accepted as the payment for sin. See, my blood, if I say, okay, God, I'm very sorry, I'm going to shed some blood, and hoping that you will, see, I've shed blood now, so please forgive me because of the blood I'm shedding. I could, God forgive me, or God forbid it, but even if I shed all my blood, or if you shed all of your blood, or if those men that were allowing themselves to be impaled on crosses in the Philippines, if they allowed themselves to stay there long enough and shed all of their blood for their sin or the sin of the people in their town or region, that would not help them or anybody else. If I shed my own blood to offer it as a sacrifice for my sin, God the Father would not accept it. And why is that? That's because my blood is sinful. Your blood is sinful. The Bible says we were born and we were shaped in iniquity. When I was born, I was already a sinner. It didn't even make a difference whether I knew to do something or not. But I was born a sinner already. Why? Because of my ancestry, because of where I came from. So I've been born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And you can even see a little girl, a little baby, they're so cute when they're little. They're so precious. But the minute they get to know that they have a will and they have the power to say yes or no, one of the first things that a little child will do when they can begin to talk and they understand that they have been given some power and some authority, when the mommy or daddy asks them to do something, they will say, no, no. That's just a part of the Adamic nature. That's a part of who we are. That's a part of the sinful side of that little girl or that little boy. Now, they're precious, and we can't really hold them responsible because they don't even know better at this young, young, young age. But the more they grow and they learn right from wrong, they know good and well what they're doing. See, because we have the Adamic nature. Before we allow Jesus Christ to cleanse us from our sin and to allow his Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us, that's who we are. Sinful. So that even little baby's blood cannot pay as an atonement, is not worthy enough to be sacrificed for anybody's sin, not their own or anybody else's. The only blood sacrifice that was acceptable to the Father was the blood of his spotless, blameless, sinless Son, the Lord Jesus. And so that's why we say that he is the sacrifice lamb for you and for me. Another reason I've seen God use an earthquake or storm-like experience in our lives is to get our attention. To get our attention. Oftentimes, we're so preoccupied with the things of this world, people, and life circumstances and things, you know, possessions, that when God is asking us to draw near to him and have relationship with him, we're far too busy with other things and feel that spending time with him can wait. Okay, so let me just go over what I've shared with you so far. Number one, God is involved in our lives. And he was involved in the earthquake that came just prior to Jesus speaking with those two ladies, the two Marys. He was involved in that violent earthquake. Because let me read it again. There was a violent earthquake. Verse 2 of chapter 28 of Matthew. There was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from where? From heaven. So, again, I want to repeat that oftentimes, I'm not saying all of the time, but a lot of the time, it is God who is behind those situations in your life and in my life. And here we read it again. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from where? Not from, he didn't come up from hell. He came down from heaven, and he went down to do a tremendous thing, because he went down to the tomb where Jesus' body was laid. He rolled back the stone, and he sat on it. So we know that God is involved in matters of our lives, so much so that he allowed his only begotten Son to come and to give himself as a sacrifice. I just explained that to you. He sacrificed his blameless self for you and for me. And then the other reason that he allows the earthquakes in our lives is to get our attention. Because we're often way too busy. When God's trying to get our attention, and in his mercy and in his loving kindness towards us, he allows that earthquake to come our way. Even the angel himself, Matthew, tells us that his countenance or his appearance was like lightning. Imagine that. We usually think, again, of lightning as something scary, something bad. But now Matthew tells us in chapter 28 that the angel's countenance or his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. So in other words, the angel was so otherworldly than what is typically seen on the earth. So different. So not from here. So not ordinary. The guards who were paid to guard the tomb where Christ's body was laid, they were literally shaking with fear. They became like dead men, powerless to move or to do anything. Why? Because the presence of God came down, sending his angel. Hallelujah. And that angel did not look like the regular men, but he was full of glory. I believe it was the glory of God all over that angel that made his countenance appear as lightning. You ever seen lightning in the sky? Wow, these bright, 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 you know, like spears of light. And then the Bible says, and even the clothing that the angel had on were as white as snow. Clean. Clean. Because whenever anything has to do with God and God is in something, it's clean. Even if he goes to something that's dirty, that he makes it. Then the angel tells the two Marys not to be afraid. See, when God comes to your life, he does not want you to be filled with fear. The word of God says that he has not even given us, he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So, of course, the angel is going to tell the two Marys, don't be afraid. For the Lord whom you're looking for, he's no longer in the tomb. You can forget about trying to prepare and keep his body from smelling. You can forget about that. He's no longer in the same tomb where his body had been placed, but he had risen. He's risen, and exactly as he promised he would do. See, another thing, when God gives a promise, he's not a God to go back on his promises. He's a God that is faithful to his promise and will keep every one of his good promises. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God will not return to void. We learned that in Isaiah. But it will accomplish those things that God sent it forth to accomplish. So when God gives you a promise, beloved, you can bank on it. And to me, this is one of the most exciting scriptures. I mean, I love the word of God anyway, but this is one, not my favorite, but one of my favorite. I have many, many favorites. This is one of my top verses. I love it. This same Jesus who was crucified, he's not here. He has risen just as he said. He is risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Wow. Angel said, I know you're looking for Jesus. Jesus who was laid out on that cross, Jesus who was beat until you couldn't even recognize what he looked like anymore, beaten to shreds with that cat of nine tails that had in all those nails in it. Can you imagine? And it wasn't just like one leather belt. It was many, 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 many leather, long leather pieces proceeding from the head of that weapon. Really, it was a weapon with all of these leather, you know, hard, leathery cut pieces in vertical lengths, and then each of those vertical lengths having all of these, you know, pieces of nail and glass stuck in it and sewed in it. Dear Heavenly Father, and he was whipped with this cat of nine tails. Whipped for what? For you, for me. Taking upon his body my sin, your sin. Wow. That's the kind of loving God that we serve and that we have. So, I love that verse. No sense looking for him here, ladies. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. In other words, he's gone. He's gone. Those guards, can you imagine? Can you imagine looking upon that angel with all that light surrounding him? Those poor guards were so full of fear, they became like dead men, powerless to move or do anything. And then the angel tells the two Marys, I don't want you to be afraid, but the Lord who you're looking for in the tomb where his body had been placed, he's risen exactly like he promised he would do. Number one, Jesus has power over sin and death. Wow. Power over sin. And that's where I get the theme from. Resurrection power. You see, prior to Christ dying on the cross for your sin, to pay the penalty for my sin. Prior to Jesus doing that, mankind had no power over sin. They would try to do the very best that they could. They would try to keep the law. They would try to live a life pleasing to God. But without an exception, they would fail. They would fail. Why? Because Jesus has not yet come, and they did not yet have the power within them over sin. over spiritual death. See, you and I, unless we're raptured or unless Jesus comes very soon, you and I are going to experience physical death, except for, like I said, rapture or Jesus coming back to take us, to be with him. Other than that, we will suffer physical death at some point. But now, people are usually dead another kind of way, and that is a spiritual death. When we sin and we're not repented of that sin yet, and we're doing our own thing, we are, as the Bible calls, living in our sin and trespasses. We're living as dead men and dead women, dead in sin and iniquities. Our lives outside of Jesus Christ, we're already spiritually dead. There is no spiritual life within us until he, you know, places his Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us. So outside of that, you know, you're dead. I'm dead. Outside of Jesus, that's it. No wonder, and I'm going to find that scripture for you. No wonder that Jesus told Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. You got to be born again. And Nicodemus was asking him, let me just read you something from the scriptures. John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Nobody can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And so, how can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked, surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, verily, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. And so this is such an interesting scripture. And remember, I'm saying that Jesus has power over sin and over death. Why Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born a second time, what does that mean? It means that spiritually you need to be born. Because without a spiritual birth, a second birth, you are dead in your trespasses. You are dead in those things that have made you do things that are against God's will. You're doing and living things against God's purpose, against God's plan, against God's best for your life. And you're sinning against God. You're offending God in sin. That's you, that's me, that's every human being that's alive that is aware of sin and understands the difference between right and wrong. And so you and I, we need more than just going to a church service, going to a religious event. We need more than just reading the Bible by itself. We need more than just praying. We need to be born again. Now, it's wonderful to pray. We have to pray every day and throughout the day. Pray without stopping. Pray without ceasing. It's good to fellowship and be with other believers and be strengthened. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves with the believers. So it's good to be in the company of other like-minded, biblically following believers, people that believe in the word of God and follow Christ and his teaching. This is something that we all need to do. However, we must make sure that we're born of God. And that's why I'm saying tonight that Jesus has power over sin, the sin that's in your life, the sin that's in my life. He has the power to break the hold of sin in my life and your life. And he has the power over the death, the spiritual death, my life, your life. Now, if you've given your life to Jesus, you're no longer spiritually dead, but you're alive in Christ Jesus. Not just when you go to be with the Lord in heaven, but you're made alive right now at the point of salvation. When he saves you, he's saving you from spiritual death and damnation. So the first thing is to know that Jesus has power over sin when he stretched out his hands upon that cross and he hung his head and he gave up life, his life on that cross, because the Bible says that no man could really take it away from him. He gave up his life. He allowed himself to be crucified. 1,000 angels and get him from that cross. He didn't have to go through any of that. But he knew that if he did not do that, if he did not allow himself to be crucified and die on the cross and pay the penalty, the punishment for your sin, for my sin, then you and I would be eternally lost. We would have no hope. So Jesus paid the price for my sin and your sin. And then, not only does he have power over sin, because of course the Bible says he was tempted. Don't forget, he was fully God, but at the same time, fully man when he walked on the earth those 33 years. But he never yielded to sin, even though he was tempted in everything he was tempted. But he never yielded, he never gave in to the sin. The sin is not being tempted. The sin is in yielding to the temptation. And now when you have Jesus Christ and you're born again, he gives you the power to say no to the devil and to say yes to God. And then the Bible says that not only does he have power over sin, but over death. So not only does he have power over spiritual death, but even physical death, because here he was, dead and buried, put in the grave, put in that tomb, and yet on the third day, he arose. You know what that means? Do you understand what that means? He has risen from the dead. He gives all who follow him resurrection power over sin and death. And even when you and I may die a physical death, the Bible says that when we die physically, we are present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So all we do is go from here into the very presence of God. We have power over sin and over death. Death can no longer hold us. We'll never be able to separate us from our Heavenly Father. Even if we lose this outer shell, which is our body, even if that goes into the grave, even if that dies, you and I have eternal life. We don't stop living eternally. We just go from this place where we are right now into the presence of God. Wow. He has risen. Now, what about all these other people that they say they're following a God? And I have to say it with a small g. What happened? Now, here goes the difference between their God, small g, and our God, my God, the God of the Bible, big G. The others are all false people. All the other ones outside of Jesus Christ. Here goes the big word. All other gods are false. They're all fake. And even those that claim to be God, they're dead. there is no resurrection power going on in their lives. I remember this man that, I forgot his name, but he was in Florida, and he said that he was now Christ, and his followers had 666 put, you know, tattooed on their hands, on their neck, on their foreheads, on their shoulders, on their arms, you know, on their hands, 666, to identify with their false god, because he went around saying that, you know, he died, and he's rotting in hell today unless he repented at the last minute. Unless he repented before a holy God who's merciful, he's in hell today, and he understands that he's not God. How about that? I remember another man when I was a little girl. There was a man that these people used to follow. Wow. He called himself Father Divine. He was living in Harlem. Had a lot of women, had a lot of everything. I was just little. Maybe I was about 4 or 5. But I remember that because I thought, wow. I knew enough of the Word of God, and my mom taught me how to read very early. So teach your children how to read very early. It's one of the best things you can do for them outside of teaching them the love of Jesus. Let them learn how to read early. Start them off, I mean really early. From the time they can talk, start teaching them the ABCs. From the time they can talk, start teaching them how to read those little words and keep going. So anyway, here I was, a little girl, but I remember thinking, he's not really God. And why is he calling himself Father Divine? Then shortly after, fast forward, a few years later, I heard he dropped dead. Well, see, all the people that claim to be God or claim to be the new Christ or claim to be the new Messiah, you can go to wherever they have their remains, whether, you know, they cremated them and they have their remains in an urn, or they buried them and they have them in a coffin. If they open that coffin, it will be nothing but ashes or maggots or just dry bones, because they don't have the power over death. They weren't God. The only one who was risen from the dead and from his tomb is Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Make no mistake about it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, meaning Jesus. He never said, I am one of many ways. He didn't say, I am a way, as Oprah Winfrey would like to say. That is a lie. He is not one of many ways. She'll tell you, and she said it on television for millions to hear, oh, no. He's just one of many ways. See, there are many ways. You can come to the Father one of many ways. There are hundreds of ways, she said. But she is a liar. There are not many ways. So you either believe Oprah Winfrey or you believe Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Wow. We'll revisit this again just at the end. Now, the third thing is that he has gone ahead of you. This is what the angel told those two Marys. Now, just, you know, Christ is already risen. Go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you. So in other words, God has gone ahead of you. And I want to say this, not only has Christ gone ahead of those two Marys in that time, but Christ has gone ahead of you. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, God has gone ahead of you. Whether it is good or bad, if you have placed your life in his hands, he precedes you, listen to me now, and goes ahead of you to prepare the way for you. Now, remember that even when Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit in Matthew chapter 4, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Wow. You mean sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead you into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? Yes. The answer is yes. Because some people will tell you, well, wow, you know, God will never. No. Sometimes God, as he's pruning you, preparing you, shaping you, making you, fixing you, equipping you to be the man and the woman of God, or I should say the man or the woman of God, and to be fit for that calling that he's placed upon your life, he will allow you to go into some times where you're going to be tempted of the devil. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But remember, this is the secret. He has gone ahead of you, precedes you. He goes ahead of you to prepare the way for you so that you can come out in victory. Hallelujah. The word of God says in John chapter 10, he calls his own sheep by name, leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because why? Because they know his voice. Now, he has the power to do whatever is needed in your life to free you and all the bondage and all the garbage and all the stuff that is holding you back. Jesus Christ of Nazareth has the power to set you free. Please remember, man of God, please remember, woman of God, that he has gone ahead of you. You're never alone. Not only is his spirit inside of you and dwells inside of you to give you the power over the enemy, to give you the power over life circumstances, but he's gone ahead of you to prepare the way for you, for whatever is necessary for you. He's gone ahead of you. Please remember that. Resurrection power, wow. No matter what you are encountering, God is with you. You're not alone. Especially talking to that man of God. Especially talking to that woman of God. But now I want to speak to that person that does not know the Lord yet in the pardon of sin. You don't know what it is to have his Holy Spirit indwelling you. You don't know what it is to have him lead you and guide you because you've been doing your own thing and going your own way, making your own decisions, guiding your own life. You're doing you. Tonight, the Father is asking you to come. All you that are weary and heavy laden, Jesus says to you that he will give you rest. There is resurrection power. You don't have to live in the bondage of sin any longer. You don't have to live defeated. Jesus has already conquered sin and death. Jesus has already risen. And he wants to raise you out of the muck, out of the sin, out of the stench, out of the filth, out of the failures. He wants to raise you the same way that he rose to physical life again. He wants to raise you from that pit that the enemy has kept you in, that vomit, that stench, those chains. God wants to set you free tonight. Tonight is your night, or any time that you're listening to this broadcast. This is your time right now. Do not wait. Those many people in Sri Lanka, when they went when they bathed themselves and put on their pretty clothes and went outside to go into the house of God or wherever they were, in a march or in a parade or whatever, they never knew that they were going to wind up dead today. And yet over 200 of them are already lost. You and I don't know when our last day will be, when we're going to breathe our last breath. We have no idea. But unlike those that are following cults, they're not sure if they're going to be saved. But you and I, if we follow the Lord Jesus, we can have assurance of salvation because we know that it is a gift that God gives freely because of what Jesus has done on the cross for you and for me. There is resurrection power, beloved. Allow his resurrection power to transform your life this very hour, this very moment, very time. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name I come. I know that I have offended you. I know that I am a sinner. And I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sins. Wash me in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for taking my place. Thank you for forgiving me. Now I invite you, Lord Jesus, to come into my life, to come into my heart. Transform me by your resurrection power. Raise me up from the pit that I've been living in, from the sinful life that I've been living. Wash me. Clean me, make me new, make me fresh. And I invite your Holy Spirit to come and have his way in my life. From this moment on, I choose you as my Lord and my Savior. I follow you. Give me the power to love you, to know you, to serve you, and to be with you from this time forth until you come and call for me. In Jesus' name. Use me for your honor and for your glory. Shine through me. Help me to glorify you with my life. Bless me and make me a blessing for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. God bless you, beloved, until next Sunday night. God bless you. God keep you. The Lord loves you. Bye-bye.